This is The Killer Show with me, Vix, the Angel of Metal on Preston FM. I've got a very special guest in the studio today. It's my mate. She's decided to sit in. But just say hi to people, Wes.
Hello.
I don't know if you heard that, but I'm sure she'll be more confident as the show goes on. But we have got a special guest on the phone today. And I've got Matt from Outcry Fire on the line, but you just heard a little bit of Iron Maiden. And hello, Matt. Did you enjoy that Iron Maiden?
I most certainly did, yes I did. I saw Iron Maiden for the first time ever in my life last year, and I've been looking forward to that for about the last 20 years, and it was absolutely fantastic.
Right on. Have you seen the Flight 66 film?
No, I'm looking forward to catching that as soon as I get round to it as well. I've been so busy lately, I've just been, haven't had time to catch up on all this stuff. I saw the Anvil film for the first time lately. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't, but I've seen Iron Maiden.
Oh, all right. The Anvil one reminded me a lot of our being in a band, man. I can really relate to that. If anyone else is in a band, go watch that film.
Yeah, I hear that. Well, Jonathan Ross likes it. I know that for sure because he bought an Anvil album after that film.
Cool, man. Well, they're a good band and they need to get some more recognition.
Absolutely. Well, they're going to be at Download this year. Are you going to Download?
I certainly am, yes. I'll be there in a working capacity to some degree. like every year they have their own radio station, the Download Radio. I was involved a couple of years ago. I was helping out a friend who was working with the BBC when they did it. And then last year, Total Rock Radio did it, who I'm a DJ for as well, sort of part-time. And this year they've got another radio station. They've asked me and a couple of other friends to come along and help them out with it. So you'll hear me on the radio there if you're going.
I'm not going. Well, I don't know yet. It's all under wraps at the moment, which is quite exciting. But I know Miss Talita is going to be DJing. Are you going to be like co-DJing with her?
That's right. Yes. I'll be on her show. I shall be dressing up as Mighty Thor and going out into the campsite to do what we're going to call Mighty Thor's Rock Roar. Basically, I'm just going to go around various people's campsites and get them to scream into a microphone.
That sounds so awesome. I'll have to tune into that. Do you know if it can be, like, you know, broadcasted, like, further afield, like, for the people who aren't going to Download?
It's on, like, the... I can't remember the frequency of it now.
Just go to Download's website to find out the frequency. I'm sure it's there.
Yeah. It's on FM frequency, so you can pick it up in a local range and online as well. You can listen to it.
All right, Anne. Well, as you said earlier on, that it's been, like, mad busy for you at the moment, and I believe that you were in Wales yesterday for a wedding, so absolute congratulations to Mike, who plays guitar in the band.
That's right, man. Yeah. He got married to our friend Holly, who, like, we've all known for years. And it's sort of like, it's a bit weird because, like, we're a very close-knit group of friends. We've known each other for a very long time. And it's only recently, like, over the past 4 years, we decided to get together and form a band and stuff. But Holly has been friends with us all, like, since we were kids. And only, like, a couple of years ago, she got together with Mike, which was weird enough in itself. But now, like, they're getting married and everything, and it's all, like... It was all really cool, man. But, like, it meant that the wedding was, like, lots of old friends getting together, lots and lots, and we just partied hard yesterday. It was wicked.
No damage, alcohol-wise, anyway?
No lasting damage. We'll wait until we get those films developed. They did the disposable camera thing. And I think as the evening progressed and people got more drunk, they got a little bit more sort of like daring with taking photos on those things. So I dare to think what sort of shots are going to come out of those.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I heard that you hurt your back as well. What's going on there?
That's not a big thing. I've had problems with my back for years because, like, I'm a tall guy and posture isn't always such an easy thing to grasp when you're very tall. So, like, every so often I do my back in, but I really need to go see a chiropractor about it because I get it bad about once a year. Last year it happened whilst I was at Download, which was horrible. Trying to sleep in a tent with your back shot out. Oh, it was horrible. But But yeah, I need to sort myself a chiropractor, because what happens is it sorts itself out after a while, and then you just forget about going to see the chiropractor until it happens again the next time.
Yeah, it happens. But anyway, let's talk about your band, Outcry Fire. Now, I know that the band kind of emerged from like two bands from your local area in High Wycombe. So, like, how did the two bands come into one to make a baby, so to speak?
Well, I was in a band years ago called Seven of Nine, and we did quite well for ourselves. But like, we just sort of like, I don't really even remember what it was. We had a bit of a falling out, and then the band split up, and I never did anything for a good few years after that. Sort of after this, a group of my other friends had started up this other band called Blind Eye Policy. And then it became like the new like big local band in Wickham. And again, like they got to a good stage where they were like, you know, tipped to do big things, but it all sort of fell apart at the last minute. And then the remaining members of the band that still wanted to carry on, they were still jamming and stuff, and they were like asking me if I wanted to do some vocals and just sort of like, because like they obviously knew me as a friend, they knew I was like, you know, yeah, pretty good at it.
Yeah.
To a certain degree. So like, and I resisted for a long, long time. So I was like, oh, I don't know if I really want to do it anymore. You know, I went through all that rigmarole and I like, didn't really get anywhere. And they're like, eventually twisted my arm. But as soon as I got in that studio and they played me the riffs that they'd been writing, it was just sort of like, I was bouncing off the walls. Like, yeah, I'm doing this.
Was it the best decision you've ever made?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's the music that we make with Outcry Fire is like the best stuff I've ever done, and you know, it's really comfortable and stuff. Best thing about our band is like we all really dig the music big time, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. You know, when we get up on stage, we muck about and like you know, whatever happens. We're not like when we were kids, we were like, oh, we've got to get signed, we've got to, you know, do this and do that, and it's like, you know, if it happens, it happens. That's bonus. But all we focus on is like making the music that we want to make.
That's pretty cool. That now it sounds like. I mean, I was reading on your MySpace. It sounds like from pretty much from the word go, you know, things have just been up and on for Outcry Fire. I mean, you've supported a lot of great bands. I mean, one of them, you know, a few of them being 3 Inches of Blood, Skindred, Clutch, Enter Shikari, Exit 10, and also as well in 2005 you were shortlisted by Kerrang to be like the top 10 best unsigned bands. That's pretty awesome, that, and you've like achieved quite a lot.
We have indeed, yeah. The important thing is not to let it go to your head, and you know, just because like we are still unsigned. I mean, 4 years down the line since we were in that the Kerrang thing happened, that was the first thing. You know, we were one of the top 10 unsigned bands in the band country. We still didn't get picked up from that, and we still haven't, you know, and we might never ever get picked up. So you know, you just gotta have fun while it lasts.
A bit also as well, I mean, how cool is this for an award? You won Battle of the Bands for the first ever Hard Rock Hell ever. That must be pretty cool. And you returned in 2008.
Yeah, absolutely. Playing festivals is brilliant, because I mean, like I love going to festivals because it's a chance to see lots of bands in one place, and a lot of bands that you probably never see, you know, in any other circumstance. And doing that, we played obviously we played the Battle of the Bands thing there the first year, and we won the overall contest, which meant we got to go back there for a second year. And from that, I mean, you just make lots of contacts as you go along. Mm. There was we got picked up by a booking agent as well that come to see us when we played with Prong. They were actually organising the gig. This is Factory, and then they saw us play, and they're like, "We wanted to pick you up as a booking agent," and that's really important as well for a band, because getting on good bills, getting to play with the bigger bands, is impossible unless you've got a booking agent, someone representing you. People just don't seriously otherwise.
Well, I know the people of Factory Music are pretty good. I mean, Sharon's an absolute star, and Dan, and you know, Mark and Steve.
That's right, exactly, man. And you need to have someone behind you, and a lot of bands struggle. There's millions of brilliant bands out there that will, you know, that struggle to get noticed, and they might not ever get noticed. without being lucky enough to have someone represent us, and we just consider ourselves lucky in that respect.
Cool. Well, we're going to go into a song break, you know, just chillax for a bit. It's absolutely scorching here in Preston. I think it's the first time it's been hot in years. I don't know. How's the weather down there, down near High Wycombe?
Oh, yeah, it's hot down here as well, yeah. And the weather was beautiful for the wedding yesterday.
That's a true gem. I think that, you know, any bride can wish that they have good weather on their wedding day.
Yeah, absolutely. It was stunning. The place they had this in Wales, right? Let me tell you quick, like, it was this massive mansion, and the grounds were epic. And Chegg, the bass player in our band, he's a bit of a nature freak. And, like, you know, you go for a walk with Chegg and you will learn so much about, like, the, you know, the habitat of the plants and the creatures and everything like this. You could just ramble for hours. We're going to make our own nature documentaries out of Chegg and his amazing yet useless facts.
You should totally do that. That sounds awesome. Cool. Well, we're going to go and listen to some Outcry Fire. But just before we do, just quickly describe your sound to our listeners.
What are we like? Well, I think groove is an important thing. You know, Pantera is a massive influence on us. And one of the best things about them is that they throw a lot of groove into their metal. And that's what we riff on. I mean, we would probably class ourselves as metalcore. You could throw us in the same sort of band as Killswitch Engage and stuff like that, and Lamb of God, I'd say. So if you're into that, then you might dig this. Have a listen, see what you think.
Can't say it any better than that. Well, Matt's going to stay on the line for a few more cues and enjoy this, people. I'm sure you will. How brutal was that? Wendy, talk on the microphone.
Hello.
<That's>... Hi, Wendy.
She's in a giggly mood at the moment. She loves the southern accent, don't you, Wes?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Awesome. What did you think about that track? People send him into my Twitter, which is twitter.com/angelofmetal. Great tune, that, man.
Cheers, thanks a lot. That's one of my favourites as well.
Great stuff. Now, how would you describe your bandmates?
Ah, right, okay then. Oh, well, you've got quite a quite an eclectic bunch. Basically, you've got, let me start with little Matt, okay. Matt plays guitar. He's just got a little Mohican going on at the moment. Sometimes he shaves it off. But he is like a little wind-up bunny. You just wind him up and he goes. He will be, when we play, he's all over the stage. He'll be jumping off the monitors and leaping about, crawling through your legs. You never know what he's going to do next. And then you got Mikey, who's the other guitarist, who's like a musical genius. The man, there isn't a musical instrument he can't make sound good. The man is just like stupidly clever. But he's also a massive stoner. He smokes so much weed, it's unbelievable. The man just sort of, like, you know, he'll go without days without leaving the house sometimes, and just smoke his own body weight. And but the music that he writes is just immense, and he's bloody he'll write a whole song, like the drums, do a whole structure and everything. He's a clever bastard.
Okay. And then, oh, all right, okay, well, maybe he gets his influence from that, but hey, never mind, and apologies for the swearing, people.
Oh, sorry, man.
You should know this, Matt, we were discussing it on the phone.
Yeah, I know, you can get away with some things on my station, but not yours, I know.
We're very strict up north.
I know, I'm sorry, baby.
Okay, carry on.
You've got Dan, who's the drummer. He's a little bit younger than us, and, like, He lives in Reading. The rest of us live in High Wycombe. We've known each other since we were young, but he's like the sort of outsider as such. So it took him a while to get integrated into the band, because we have a certain sense of humour and a lot of in-jokes and stuff, but he's come round to it now. and he's the young one. And then you've got Chegg. And Chegg is, we call him Hippie as well. like I was saying earlier, the dude is just a fountain of like amazing
knowledge.
Yes. You can like within 5 minutes of a conversation with Chegg, he would have told you something that you never knew before in your life, and you'll possibly pass on and bore other people with.
Okay, well, what kind of stuff would he say? And keep it clean, please. Keep it clean.
All right, okay. What was he telling me the other day? He was telling me about, because he likes to watch a lot of nature documentaries and stuff, he was telling me about a certain type of ant that lives in a rainforest, and it's attacked by, seriously, it's attacked by a certain type of fungus, right? And this fungus creates spores, and which actually attack this certain type of ant. And sort of like attaches itself to their brain stem. It goes in through their head and then grows into their head. And then it forces the ant to climb as high as it can without, like, you know, any sort of like influence over it. The fungus makes it climb as high as it can so that it dies up there at the top of the tree. And then the fungus will grow out the top of its head and then spore and then spread as far as it can go. And there's nothing they can do. If the ants in the colony find one of these ants, their own ants, with this fungus in its head, then they have to kill it before it spreads to all the other ants.
There you go. That sounds really disgusting, but very interesting.
It's very clever, isn't it?
So send my regards to Chegg. No, serious, that's pretty cool. We should do like a kind of like feature where it's like Chegg says and did give like an interesting fact or something like that.
That's right, yeah. Yep. You told me another thing as well yesterday. You know the monkey puzzle tree?
Yeah.
There was one of these on the grounds of this place we were staying at. Do you know why a monkey puzzle tree is called a monkey puzzle?
Not because personally.
It's the only tree that a monkey can't climb.
Wendy's looking at me very impressed.
Yeah, because the leaves on it, the way that it grows, it means that you can't grip on it. You can't grip on it. And monkey's the only tree in the entire world that a monkey can't climb.
Gosh, if the monkies have if we're supposed to be like, you know, descending from and evolution from the apes, but how are we going to cope?
I know, man. But luckily, we don't have to climb around in trees anymore. we get all right.
Cool. Well, let's talk about... I know that you're a big Jaeger monster, okay? You just totally love the drink. And who doesn't these days? It's an absolute great drink if you don't think it tastes like cough medicine. But I know that you sobered up for a long time for cancer research.
That's right, yeah. I'll tell you the whole story. Basically, I started out because I just wanted to lose some weight, right? And I got myself like a Wii Fit and stuff, and I was doing well on that, but I wasn't losing weight enough fast. Somebody said to me, oh, you drink loads. If you stop drinking for a while, the weight will just shoot off, right? So, like, I decided, okay, I'll give up drinking for a while, but I need a real incentive to do that. So I was going to do it for charity, and I picked cancer research specifically because, like, one of my uncles died of cancer a couple of years ago, and one of my friends at work has also suffered with it, and I think everyone knows someone or has had someone in their family,
yeah,
you know, that has been affected by that. So it's pretty widespread, and it's coming close to my heart. So I was like, right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to give up drinking for 10 weeks and have people sponsor me to keep it going. And I did it, man. I didn't drink a drop of alcohol in 10 weeks. And I tell you what, it was hard. It was hard work. There were some days where, like, you know, I've never considered myself an alcoholic. I never really craved alcohol. And like, because like, I would normally just drink it, you know, at the weekends and stuff when I'm out with my mates. But I found myself like in the daytime, sort of like thinking about, oh, I wish I had a beer right now.
And it's, oh, like, dear.
You know, it's the middle of the afternoon, like, or even like in the morning. But man, got through it. Hard as hell, especially when you're playing gigs, because like,
yeah, there's a social side of things as well.
That's right. Yeah, when you're in a band, that means that, like, obviously you got to get to a gig early to do the sound check, And if you're headlining, that means you're in that place, which is essentially the place that sells alcohol for a very long period of time.
Yeah.
It's tough, but I did it. And I lost a shitload of weight as well. I just said the word again, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. I'm really sorry, but it feels passionate. And you know what? Hat off to you if I had a hat right now. But how much money did you raise out of interest?
I raised £350.
That's not bad for 3 weeks.
That's not bad at all. It was 10 weeks.
Wait, 10 weeks. Would you do it again?
You know what? I think I might. Because, like, you know, it was really... I got a really positive response out of it. And it made me feel good as well. Like, healthy.
Hmm.
It's good to have a detox every once in a while. I think next year I might do it again, but I'd have to up the ante.
Go for 15. Go for 15. If you have the will, then you will do it.
Yes.
Cool. What do you think about DJing, out of interest?
DJing's a lot of fun. It's not something that I really wanted to get into, but I did by accident, totally by accident. Obviously, like, with my band, that was what I was, like, promoting at the time, and I sort of, like, got friends with Talita, in fact, around, I don't know, about 3 years ago. She invited me on her show as a guest, and I became friends with her and friends with the other people that ran the station, and they just sort of, like, said, well, do you want to come in and do your own show one day? I did that, and it went down really well, and they kept asking me back to do more and more shows, and now, like, 3 years later, I've got my own regular show there, and it's a hell of a lot of fun. And I just keep, again, like, you know, it's something I don't take super serious. I just sort of, like, do it for my own enjoyment. And it's great. You get to sit there and play all the tunes that you want to play and meet loads of people and interview, like, people in bands that you look up to as well. It's fantastic fun.
Great, great stuff. Well, we're going to be listening into Dirt Bomb. Matt's going to stay on. I've only got a couple more cues, and we're running out of time very quickly. And I did promise my lovely co-host for today that I'll play some Alex's on Fire and maybe some Second Mother song, if you're lucky, people. So, Matt, is it cool to stick on the line for a bit?
Yes, we'll do.
Awesome. Well, check it out. This is Dirt Bomb from Outcry Fire. Another epic, brutal track from Outcry Fire. That was, excuse me, Dirt Bomb. And I've got the singer on the line. Dude, you can absolutely scream your heart out.
Yeah, I don't really know where that comes from. It's just sort of opened my gob and it happens. People ask me, like, you know, how do you make your voice do that? I'm like, I don't know. It just does.
The voice can do many weird things.
Yeah, it's cool.
Awesome. What would you say your influences were to, start up singing, or was it just a case of somebody asked for you and, you know, you tried it out?
Well, what happened is, like, in my old band, 7 of 9. When we first started out, we were trying to get the band together. I was actually playing bass for him, and we had this guy who was going to be our singer. And our first three rehearsals, like, we'd get together, we'd write the songs, and we'd, like, play them. But the singer wasn't really getting involved. He was sitting there writing and stuff, but, like, he never actually sang in rehearsals. And, like, this went by for a couple of months, and he just kept saying, oh, I'm just trying to think about how I would do this before I do it, and, like, fair enough. But, like, one time I went to a Reading festival for the weekend. The rest of the band stayed at home. They didn't go. And I was with some other friends, and then on the last day of the festival, a couple of guys had got day tickets. So they came along, and they found me in the campsite, and they were like, oh, how you doing? And I'm like, what have you been up to? And they're like, well, we've been jamming and stuff, yeah, and, the guy who was supposed to be singing, Gav, is his name, he jumped on the bass and was, like, playing bass for us, and he can play bass just as well as you can. And I thought there and then, like, oh, no, they're kicking me out of the band. They goes, well, we know that you can sing, because I've done a bit of, like, sort of shouting and stuff on backing vocal and things like that. And I'm like, well, do you want to be the singer? And we'll let Gav be the bass player. And because it turns out that Gav can't sing at all. so I kind of got promoted to lead singer, and then I just really took on that role, and it came naturally. It just really came naturally, man. I found a sort of a sound that I wanted, and it stuck with it.
Okay, cool. And what's coming up next for the band?
Well, at the moment, we're doing a lot of writing. We're in the process of writing our first album. We've got maybe about two or three songs towards making a full album, basically. And we're really concentrating on that at the moment. The sound is changing slightly, not massively, but I would say it's becoming more layered and there's a lot more to it. Mastodon has been a massive influence on us recently. I mean, when we started writing this, it was sort of like, it was starting to get a bit more spacey and a bit more technical. And then the Mastodon album came out, Crack the Sky, and we were just sort of like, oh, God, yes, this is what we want to be doing. This is what the sort of sound that we were trying to go for, you know. And that Crack the Sky album hasn't been off of my stereo since it came out. I love that. So that's what we're doing at the moment. We're making epic,
epic metalness.
That's right, yeah.
That's what we like to hear. That's what we like to hear on the Killer Show. And just to give us a brief insight, if we were to have a night on the tiles with Matt from Outcry Fire, what would we get up to?
Oh my goodness! Well, there'd be a lot of drinking, that's for sure.
We like that. Thumbs up.
Yeah. Well, we could do the whole day thing, because, like, one of my things that I really love is roller coasters and stuff. Oh, so if you really want to party with me, you want to get together with the Outcry Fire Boys, get down to, like, Fort Park or something, right? What we'd like to do is we ride the roller coasters, and then, like, when it gets around to the bit where it takes your photo, it's just pull the most ludicrous faces that you can at the camera, and then and then you go and collect your photo, right?
Yeah.
If it's good enough, then yeah, you buy the photo, and then we put it up online. You can look up on Facebook, look up stoners on roller coasters.
Okay. I'm actually a member. I might post some ones out when I'm younger.
It's wicked. Look it up. Go on Facebook and search and put stoners on roller coasters, and you'll find our page. We'll put them all up on there. And then we'll go and hit the towns in London, go to the Crowbar, and drink a hell of a lot of Jägermeisters and cocktails and stuff. Usually it ends up going back to someone else's flat, and we'll just drink and party till 5 in the morning, and check out the photographic evidence in the morning.
Good or bad, we'll take it all.
Yeah, that's right. Because a lot of time, there's been many evenings where, like, you know, you won't quite know what you've done that night. But thanks to Facebook, you can catch up. You can find out exactly what you got up to.
I've certainly found that out. Thanks, Wendy, for all those pictures that you posted of me up online. Well, thank you, Matt, so much for taking the time out to do this interview. And just quickly plug your links before we go.
What's that, sorry?
Yeah, your website links for Outcry Fire.
Oh, yeah, it's simple as anything. We've only got our MySpace page because we couldn't be bothered with another website. We couldn't be bothered updating it. So, myspace.com/outcryfire.
Cool beans. Well, thank you so much, dude, for taking time out to do this interview.
No worries.
Cool. We'll be chatting soon and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'll catch up with you soon, lady.
Okay. Take care.